Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us sing together from Psalter 211 all the verses. O God, most holy are thy ways, and who like thee deserves my praise? Thou only doest wondrous things, the whole wide world thy glory sings. Thy outstretched arm thy people saved, though sore distressed and long enslaved. Is 211 all the verses. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to St. Mark, there of the first chapter, beginning with verse 21 to the end. But first let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and show a mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. And they went to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at the doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with the devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Thus far the reading of God's holy word.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his blessing and presence among us this morning. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast created all things, and thou hast created all things for thy honor, for thy glory, and thou hast also created man for thy honor, for thy glory, and thou hast created us most perfect in thy image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, that we have rebelled, we have sinned against thee, we have turned away from thee, giving unto thee our backs, never to return again, unable, but also unwilling. And Lord, we come together in this morning in thy house. It's thy long-suffering patience unto us unworthy sinners. For by nature we are all sons of Adam, totally depraved. There's no spiritual life, no hunger, no thirst, no longing for thee, no living for thee. It's all sin. And we need thy grace. We need to be renewed. We need to be spiritually made alive. And then there will begin that hungering, that thirsting, that longing for thee, for the living God. As the heart panteth for the living water, so pants my soul for thee, O God. Lord, thou knowest those who have been made alive and those who have come in this morning hungry, thirsty for thee, to taste a little token of thy favor, to have a little mercy for their soul from above, from a triune God against whom they have sinned and offended to the very heart. Oh, it would be such a wonder for them that thou would speak, that thou would visit them, that thou would come and say unto their soul, I am thy salvation. Lord, we beg thee then, as we have gathered together, we ask and beg thee in thy mercy, gather with us. Lord, thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. And Lord, there's no reason in us. It only can come from thee, that overflowing fountain of mercy and grace for unworthy wretches as we are. Lord, we beg thee then for thy name's sake, look upon us in mercy. Thou art that covenant-keeping, faithful Jehovah. Thou hast chosen a people. Thou wilt seek them. Thou wilt save them. Thou wilt never forsake the works of thy own hands. And Lord, thou knowest how it is in the heart of all thy dear people, of the little lambs and the sheep, of that good shepherd. Oh, we beg thee in this morning that thou would then give unto them what they stand in need of. Thou knowest how it is in their hearts, whether they are strained away again. Oh, thou who art that good shepherd, then bring them back. But whether they are come in thy house with a burden of sin and iniquity, and of who they remain to be, and crying like that leopard, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, bowing at thy feet, looking unto thee, depending entirely upon thee and upon thy mercy, and that thou wouldst speak and answer unto them. Lord, bless then thy word mightily by the power of the Holy Spirit, that thou would care for the souls of thy dear children, that thou would teach them and lead them and guide them and instruct them in that way of salvation, in that holy faith, in that blessed grace of faith, in that way of salvation that is a way back to thee through thy dear Son. Oh, wilt thou teach them then that necessary lessons? Lord, teach us all that we are sin, that we are unclean, that we are spiritual lepers, and that we cannot come into thy presence as we have been born. We need new life. We need to be cleansed. We need to be washed. Our sins need to be paid. Lord, we beg thee, show us who thou art in all thy attributes, that thou art holy and just, and can by no means clear the guilty. And we are guilty, we are polluted, we are corrupt, our hearts are filthy, all the sins dwell in our heart, thoughts, words, affections, and our will, it's all polluted. O Lord, wilt thou reveal then that only way through thy dear Son? And we beg thee, Lord, speak then through thy word. We pray, do not pass us by as thou rightly can, because of all our sins, because of all our iniquities and transgressions, but look upon us, hear us, visit us, answer us, because of thy dear Son who sits at thy right hand, in whom thou art well pleased. Oh, may we then taste of the wonders and the mercy of thy grace through thy dear Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, when thy word may be proclaimed, may it be proclaimed, thus saith the Lord, and give ears to hear, minds to understand, but also hearts to receive, and that we may listen, that it is a message from the Lord, what the Lord is saying unto me this morning. O Lord, we beg thee then, take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances in preaching and in listening. May thy kingdom come here in this congregation, in the hearts of older ones, younger ones, teenagers, boys and girls, that sinners may be born again, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. Oh, that grace that thou revealest unto the saints, unto thy dear people, reveal it unto us. Have mercy upon us, Lord. We beg and ask thee then that thou would also receive our thanks unto thee. For thou hast also spoken in nature. Thou hast given refreshing water from above for the land. It's thy mercy unto us. O, open our hearts and our eyes and our minds to see it, that we may be brokenhearted before thee for all thy mercy, for all thy blessings that thou hast poured out upon us in this past week, but also today, that again we may be in thy house to hear thy precious word. Lord, thou also speakst through nature, and in this past week also this church was hit by lightning. Lord, it's thy mercy that this building was not burnt to the ground, and that we may come together in this morning to worship as a congregation. Oh, give that holy adoration and that worship in our hearts. Lord, thou art worthy that we all would be truly worshiping thee. But we confess, by nature there is no worship. Lord, come then and give that new life and draw unto thyself. Blow with the wind of thy Spirit, that there may be, that hearts may be broken, and that there may be love and adoration for thee, the only true living God, and for thy dear Son, that only Savior of sinners. Lord, we acknowledge thee also that thou hast given in this past week, that Mrs. Charmaine Van Meren may receive a good report. The doctors believe that all the cancer was removed. Lord, thou hast spared her life and the unborn child. Give further healing. Care for her. Remember her for body, but also especially for her never dying soul. She may believe she has been cured from cancer, and yet she, her husband, her children, and all of us have another incurable disease by man, sin. Oh, may that message come home, and that we may seek then that great physician, and that him who has that balm in Gilead for our perishing souls. Lord, remember also Mrs. Van Brink, whom thou hast made all things well through surgery, and she may return home. O Lord, we beg thee, remember her for body and for soul. Give her and her family thankfulness unto thee. And Lord, we beg thee, teach her also in this affliction that she needs that great physician for her soul. Lord, we ask, remember all those who are sick and afflicted. We think also of Mrs. Marilyn Boder in the hospital. Visit her also. Care for her body, and for her soul. Remember all those who are mourning. Comfort them. Those who have lost children. Those who have lost a parent, a husband, a wife. Remember the widows among us. Comfort them. Those who have lost other relatives or a friend. And Lord, we beg thee, thou speaks unto us through thy word, but also through thy acts of providence. Sanctify all the callings to our hearts, that we may hear thou art speaking. Prepare to meet thy God. O Lord, wilt thou prepare us by thy grace, that we become nothing at thy feet, bowing in the dust, looking unto thee for mercy, for grace, looking unto thee, that only Savior of sinners, to cover us with thy righteousness and to wash us in thy all-atoning blood. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then bless thy word richly, mightily, here in this congregation today, on thy day, on the first day of this week, but also throughout the entire world. Help all thy servants whom thou hast called to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Oh, give us faithfulness, faithfulness to thy word, to speak according to the meaning and the will of the Spirit. Lord, we ask, bless all mission work locally, those children also in this neighborhood who have heard simple Bible stories in the past weeks. Bless it to their hearts. Remember those in prison. Help them also, Lord, those who go to visit them, to share thy word with them. Bless it also there. But through the entire world, all work that is in thy vineyard among Jew and Gentile, we beg thee, Lord, remember also the Bolivians, also today as there is elections in that country. Oh, we beg thee, have mercy on Bolivia, and wilt thou then give that all things may be done honestly, and that thou would give a government that not only would be a benefit for them and for that people, for their economic needs, but especially for their never dying soul, that thou would give yet opening to bring thy word there. But could it be also that there may be men there in Bolivia ruling with the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts? What a blessing for that nation. Lord, bless the means of grace also in Bolivia. Help all thy servants there. Remember the church workers and their families. Remember the elders, the deacons, but also Pastor Marco. Lord, richly bless thy word, that thy kingdom may come, that sinners there may be born again and come to know that only name whereby we must be saved. Lord, we ask then all these things. Gather with us in this morning. Have mercy upon us. Bless thy word, Lord, that there may be instruction, that there may be reproof where it is needed, that it may be also that there may be food and drink for poor and perishing sinners. Oh, look upon those who are looking up unto thee, waiting upon thee, waiting until thou would speak for their soul. Visit them, Lord, in thy mercy, and that at the end of this day we may say, it was good to be in thy house, because the Lord was among us. Lord, we beg thee then, for thy name, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for our eternal comfort, wash and cleanse us from all our sin, and look upon us, hear us, and answer us through that precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Let us continue now with singing from Psalter 419, the first three stanzas. Forth from thy courts, thy sacred dwelling, in jubilant accord, we here seek sweet strains of praises swelling, O Israel's mighty Lord. And what follows, 419, the first three stanzas, and the collections for this morning is for the church, and the second for the benevolent fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, the Lord speaks to us through His Word. Again, this morning we heard His law. He speaks to us through His law to show us our sin. We also heard the gospel. How else does the Lord speak to you and me? He speaks to us also through the acts of His providence. Everything that takes place in our life, the Lord is speaking. All financial cares and needs, everything to do with your body, everything, the Lord is speaking. But He also speaks through nature. And this morning, we began with singing from Psalter 2:11, and the title is The Wonderful Deeds of God. That psalm speaks about the wonderful deeds of God. God speaks through nature also. In the second stanzas, we sang, mid lightnings flash and thunder sound, great trembling shook the solid ground. This past Wednesday, early in the morning, while we were sleeping, the Lord hit the church steeple with lightning. The Lord spoke, and in His mercy, there was not much damage. This building didn't burn to the ground. We may be here together to worship the Lord in this morning. It's His mercy. And we read in Psalm 77, verse 18, the Lord speaks in nature. The voice of thy thunder was in the heavens. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth shook and trembled. And now remember, at Mount Carmel, there was a large group of people gathered before Mount Carmel. There was Elijah, the prophet of the Almighty God, and the Israelites, but also the prophets of Baal. They had come together. The Lord had called them all to come together. And to say it simply, and I say it in my own words, the Lord was going to speak, and the people were called. If Baal's God worship Him, but if God is God, worship Him. And then those two groups, Elijah the prophet and Baal, the prophets of Baal, had to prepare a sacrifice and then not light it with fire. And the God who lit the sacrifice with fire was God. And the prophets of Baal, they prepared everything and they cried. And they did their utmost that that dead God, which is not a God, would send fire to speak. And there was nothing. Absolute silence. And then it was Elijah's turn, the prophet of the Almighty God. And he prepared. And he poured all that water on the sacrifice and on the altar. And then he simply prayed unto the Almighty God. And God spoke. God sent fire. He lit everything with lightning and it was all gone. God spoke. And how did the people respond to the Lord speaking? We read in 1 Kings 18, verse 39, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And maybe you saw that video, I saw it, of lightning hitting the church. Maybe you were impressed. It is impressive. The Lord spoke. It's the power of God. But something more impressive this morning, congregation. There's something much more impressive. What is that? That the Lord is willing yet to speak to you and me through His Word. And He speaks the same way as He spoke through all times, through law and gospel, through nature, through the acts of providence. But there's something such a wonder. In the last time, we live in the last time of the world. And the Lord speaks in a very special, wonderful way. You say, what is that? What could be more wonderful than lightning? Such a majestic thing. Listen to what we read in Hebrews 1 verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. God wants to speak to you and me through His Son. What a wonder. What an impressive thought. Because we only deserve lightning that would consume us and send us eternally into destruction. But Lord, in his long-suffering mercy, yet desires to speak. How does the Lord Jesus Christ speak? How does he speak, children? Well, you say through his preaching. Absolutely. He taught, he preached. He preached. Why? That you may hear it. That it may enter into your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you may know who you are, who God is, but also who that only Savior is. And that you may believe in him. We read in John 20, verse 31, but these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. God speaks through his word and the acts of his promise through his works. Jesus Christ speaks through his word, but also through his works. Children, what is some of the works of Jesus Christ? Older ones, what's his work? What did he do while he was upon earth? So many times he did miracles. He did wonderful miracles. And so the Lord Jesus speaks unto us through his word, but also through his acts, through miracles. Why? He spoke and taught that you may believe in him. But he also did miracles that you may see and hear his works and believe in him. That's what he said in John, for example, in chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And then further in that same chapter in verse 38, but if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to speak to you and me through his word, and especially this morning through one of his works, a miracle he did. And so, with the Lord's help, we will consider the history, what we read in Mark 1, verse 40 through 45, and may we be brought by God's grace, as that leper, bowing at his feet and receiving the same blessings, bowing as an unclean beggar, looking up unto him, waiting upon him, trusting in him, and that he would speak, and that souls may be comforted. And at the end of this service, it may be that echo in the heart of the Israelites, they saw, heard the Lord speaking through lightning. He is the Lord. He is God. But may the end of this service lead us to that same place, and that we may be bowing before that Savior and say, he is the Lord. He is God. He is the Savior. Because he is worthy that we would all be bowing in the dust in adoration before him. And so, with the Lord's help, we hope to consider what we can read in Mark 1, verse 40 through 45. But at this time, I will only read verse 41, where we read from the Word of God. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. So the theme for this morning is the Lord Jesus has compassion on a leper. Three thoughts. The leper's misery, the leper's gratitude, the leper's deliverance, and the leper's gratitude. The Lord Jesus has compassion on a leper. Three thoughts. The leper's misery, the leper's deliverance, and the leper's gratitude. Our first thought, the leper's misery. Congregation, in our imagination, we see a large group of people in an area. As we read in Matthew chapter 8. And the Lord Jesus is in a certain city, as we read in Luke 5. So we see him in this city with a large group of people around him. And now if you look, you see in our imagination, the people are separate. They're moving aside. No, it doesn't say that in their scripture, but you can imagine there's one coming. There's one coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And these people move aside. There's a man coming. Who is he? Listen to what he's saying. He's crying, unclean, unclean. And the people might have been afraid. Maybe they were even a little angry. What's this man coming among us? Who is this man? Why is he crying unclean? This man is a leper. He's a leper. He's full of leprosy. That means he had the disease at a very extensive state. Full of leprosy. He might have been close to death. He received a notice. This man became a leper. To be a leper at that time was to receive a death sentence. Remember Miriam? She protested against Moses. She rejected him as a leader. She was upset, and the Lord punished her with leprosy. And then her brother Aaron prayed for her, and he pleaded with the Lord, let her not be as one dead. So we see a leper coming among this multitude, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a miserable state. But my friend, congregation, you are in a miserable state. You are dead in sins and trespasses by nature. You are a picture of this man. And the Lord himself in Scripture, open your Bible to Isaiah 1. He gives a description of you and me by nature. No, this verse is not about a leper. It's about you and me, a picture of spiritual lepers. We read this in Isaiah 1, verse 5. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. This is a picture not of a physical leper, but it's a picture of a spiritual leper. It's all a stink. It's all a stink. Sores, sin from head to foot, within and without. My friend, you are a spiritual leper. I am a spiritual leper by nature. And now when we think of a leper, and we think of sin, there's many comparisons. Many comparisons. Leprosy, some of those types, was very contagious. And so they could not come among the people according to the ceremonial law. They were separated. And sin is also contagious. That's why we have church discipline. That's why we must, with love, discipline those whom we know who are living in sin, to correct them for the glory of God, but for the rest of the congregation, that they do not say, well, he can do it, she can do it, and the sin grows and grows. Sin is incurable by man. Leprosy is incurable by man. A leper began to stink. Yes, there was pus oozing out of him, and he began to stink. But sin is a stink in God's nostrils. You and I stink because of our foul hearts and wickedness and sin. Leprosy causes swelling. Their bodies would become puffed up. Sin causes swelling. What pride in our hearts. A little wind, and we puffed up full of pride. Leprosy, as it extends and goes, it goes to the nerves. And they don't feel it anymore. Their fingers fall off. Their toes fall off. Their ears, their nose. What a pitiful sight. What misery. But sin, the older we get, the harder we get. What a picture. The Lord speaks through his law, through the gospel. We hear it. Maybe we even say we understand it, but it doesn't touch us. We don't tremble, and we don't have any joy. We're dead. Sin ends in death. Leprosy ends in death. The wages of sin is death. You and me are what we speak of. We are spiritual lepers. But have you ever sung, as we have sung, with knowledge in your heart, with grief, a mighty stream of foul transgressions prevail from day to day? That foulness just keeps coming out of you. You know yourself as a spiritual leper. You know you're foul, you're filthy, you're polluted in the sight of God. This man is a leper. He was full of leprosy, and maybe one day there was a little spot, and he tried to cover it and hide it, But then it grew, and it grew, and he couldn't hide it anymore. And so he had to go to the priest. He had to show himself. And then in a few days, he had to show himself again. And then if that leprosy had not decreased but increased, then the priest would pronounce, "You are a leper." What a message for that man. What a message for a person that they are a leper. That means separated. That means cut off. That meant they had to live without their family, not in their homes, not in the community. They couldn't go to the place of worship. And what about you? Maybe you felt a little prick. That's sin. You tried to hide it. You tried to cover it. You tried to carry on with life. But the Lord irresistibly shot arrows, and you became sin. And you saw it here. No, not in your body, in your mind, in your thoughts, in your words, in your deeds. The Lord, by the law, showed you all your sin. Sin upon sin upon sin. And you couldn't hide it anymore. In regeneration, miserable sinners become miserable sinners. Lost sinners become lost sinners. Guilty sinners become guilty sinners before God. They can't hide it anymore. They must confess it. It's in all their members. Leprosy affected the whole body. Sin affects the whole body. As we read in Romans 3, verse 13 and 18, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is on their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. My friend, may I ask you, do you know a little something of your misery? May I ask, are there spiritual lepers here this morning? Did you come to church as an unclean one, full of leprosy, perishing because of your sin before a holy and just God? Misery is important. No, we don't qualify with our misery, but it's necessary. We need air to live, and we need to know something of our misery to lead us to that only Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord teaches of our misery to draw to himself, to bring to the feet of that only Savior. Robert Murray McShane said, "Jesus Christ will not be sweet to the soul until sin is bitter." And now we read, not in Mark, but in Matthew, in the same history, "Behold, there came a leper." Behold. Yes, it's astonishing. There came a man. There came a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. "Behold, there came a leper." That's a wonder that any man would come to that only Savior, because Adam, as soon as he felt that he had sinned, what did he do? He tried to hide himself. He tried to cover. He went out from the presence of God. He wanted to be hid. And what about Cain? He was guilty. He went out. But what a wonder of God's grace we read. "Behold, there came a leper." There came a leper. A man became a seeker of that only Savior. And that's by God's grace that any sinner would truly confess that he is a leper, he is a sinner. But even also wonder that any would come to that only Savior. Can that be said in your life? Can that be said in my life? Behold, he, she, that man, that woman, that spiritual leper comes. Behold, they come trembling, looking to him. They become seekers. Seekers of a mediator. Seekers of a way to God. Seeker of a way to be cleansed. Seeker of a way to be cleansed of all their spiritual leprosy, of all their sin, of all their pollution. We read in Isaiah 65 verse 1, "Sought of them that sought me not." By nature, we do not seek him. We don't need him, because there is no need in our heart. But the Lord works that need of misery to draw to himself, to him, that only Savior. Behold, he came. They come, no, not just with their feet. It's not just an action. It's in their heart. It's in their soul. It's with a conviction of sin. It's a conviction of only hope is only in him. And he draws them, the living word, draws them by his word. This man, behold, he came. Are you a spiritual leper? Have you become a spiritual leper? And can it be said of your life, behold, he, she comes, maybe crawling, maybe creeping, yet looking, pleading, looking unto him, begging, draw me, and I will run after thee. And yet, in that heart, there's a going out unto him. They need him, because without him they will perish. This man came to the only place who could only help him and cure him. But how did he come? How did he come? What do we read? He came and fell on his face, as we read in Luke. He came as a beggar. He came without any right. He came worshiping. He came beseeching. He became as a lost one, a hopeless one. Yet he came as a beggar. That's how they come, convicted of their sin, without any rights, as beggars. Can you stand before this, beside this man? Can you kneel beside this man? Do you understand this illustration of the life, of spiritual life, in this man, in his misery as a leper, but also in his coming as a beggar, as a lost one? This man had obstacles. He wasn't allowed to come. Those people could have been very mad at him, and they had every right according to the ceremony law. He was full of leprosy. Nobody wanted to be touched by him. They didn't want him to touch him. They didn't want to become leprous. And maybe there's obstacles in your life. Maybe there's one speaking. Satan, the liar, the deceiver. He says, it's too late. You're too full of sin. You're about to die. It's too late. You live too long in sin. You sin too willfully. You sin against better knowledge. He will not receive you. My friends, that voice is a liar. Behold, he came. He had to. He came through all the obstacles that he could have had in his life. There's actions. True life causes action. There's action in the life of a sinner by God's grace. They flee unto him. They take refuge unto him. They flee from that city of destruction as Christian. Remember, children? When the Lord awakened him in that city of destruction, he had to flee. Life, life, eternal life. And he needed instruction to go to that only gate, to the wicked gate. There's action, but there's also words. This man had a short, simple prayer. Behold, he came. And then what did he say at the feet of the only Savior? Verse 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And so we read in this prayer of this man at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, two parts. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So let's consider these two parts. What is that? What is this prayer? Is this prayer your prayer? Is this prayer in your heart? If thou wilt, may I ask you, what's in your heart right now? May I ask you, do you wonder if the Lord Jesus is willing? Willing? Willing to look upon you? Is it in your heart that you think you're more willing than he is willing? Can that be, congregation? Can it be that a sinner is more willing to be saved than the Lord is willing to save him? That's impossible. That's absolutely impossible. That's not who the Lord is. He says, how oft I would have gathered thee as a hen would have gathered chicks, and ye would not. The only way a sinner is truly willing is because of the day of his power, because there's life. But what is this? What is this prayer in this man? If thou wilt, is it unbelief? There's some that say, this is absolute unbelief. I don't believe so at all. It's not unbelief. What's in the heart of this man? He's bowing to the absolute sovereignty of God. He's absolutely unworthy. It would be such a wonder that the Lord Jesus would look upon him in mercy. It would be such a wonder that the Lord would help him, that the Lord would heal him. He's bowing to the absolute sovereignty of God, because he knows the Lord could pass him by and say no, and he would say amen. Is that in your heart? Can you truly say, as a spiritual leper, I'm so filthy, I'm so polluted, I'm so absolutely unworthy, that the Lord could righteously pass me by? If thou wilt, oh, that would be such a wonder. Just a little word, a little token. We read in Romans 9, verse 15, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. This man is at the feet, waiting upon the Lord as an absolute unworthy one, waiting. Oh, if the Lord would have mercy upon such a sinner, such an unworthy one. That's what it is in the hearts of those spiritual lepers. But then he says something else. If thou wilt, and then he says, thou canst make me clean. He believes that the Lord Jesus is able. He believes that the Lord Jesus has power to heal one that's full of leprosy, close to death. How did he hear of him? We don't know. Maybe he heard of those other miracles that took place in the same chapter, and that drew him to him. But one thing is certain, he knows thou art the only one, no other one. No other man, no other person, not himself anymore, no priest, no man, but thou art that only one. Thou canst make me clean. Me, it's personal. He needs it for his own heart, for his own soul. Do you know the same prayer? Do you have the same similar prayer? If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Can these two beat together in the same heart? Yes. Calvin says, listen, this is not inconsistent with that certainty of faith which God demands in our prayers. The leper had no promise that Christ would heal him, but he fled to the only one who could help him, bowing as an unworthy one at his feet, waiting until he would speak to his soul. Faith goes out to the only one and clings to him. This man falls at his feet, fully surrendering at his sovereignty, but trusting in his mercy and grace for such a wretch. He's a little picture like Esther. Remember? She came to the king. She came to the king, and if I perish, I perish. Then I'll perish at his feet. They come, crawling, needy, begging, unworthy, but they come to his feet drawn. So we see this man, this leper, this miserable wretch at the feet, that crown jewel of creation, who was created very good, has become completely corrupt, full of leprosy. But let's turn our eyes from him now to the one at whose feet he is at. He came seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came and he fell at his feet. What will he do? What will he say? That Savior of sinners. You see that man at his feet, begging, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. How will the Lord Jesus react to him? How will the Lord Jesus react to such unworthy sinners that come surrendering, lost, unworthy, yet looking up unto him, begging? Well, that brings us to our second thought, the leper's deliverance. Will the Lord Jesus Christ send him away? Will he say, man, you broke the ceremonial law. You can't be here. You must go. Did the Lord Jesus Christ send any away? Can you find any example in the Bible that a beggar that comes without rights, bowing at his feet, looking up to him, that he sends him away? You might say, well, the rich young ruler, he came. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, go and sell. But that's not all he said. He said, and come and follow me. So can we find any example of anyone comes lost as a beggar that he sends away? No, the Lord will never send such guilty, lost, unworthy beggars away. Why? Because it's his work. He strips them of everything. He teaches them of their guilt. And he brings them and draws them unto himself, to that only place. We read in Galatians 3, verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. We cannot be saved in our misery. We need to be delivered. And those who know something of their misery begin to long for true deliverance. This man was a leper. He was a miserable, lost case, and he had to come. He wanted to be delivered. He wanted to be cleansed. He came to the right place. He came to the only one. And we read in Luke, seeing Jesus. So you see this man coming closer and closer, and he sees him. He knows that's the one. It's him. And he comes and bows at his feet as a beggar. And we read this history in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But there's something in this history written in the Word of God that is not written in Matthew or in Luke. It's only in Mark. In the Gospel of Mark, he emphasizes the affections of the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, he explains the anger of Jesus in chapter 3, when that man with a withered hand was healed on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. And he was angry how those people were upset about that. We read in Mark 6, he wondered and marveled at the unbelief of the people in Nazareth. He sighed, he groaned in himself of those in the Mark chapter 8 who asked for a sign. And so Mark emphasizes the different affections of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's in this verse? Moved with compassion. That's not in the other histories, but Mark emphasized the Lord Jesus Christ was moved with compassion. He was moved when he saw the multitudes without a shepherd. He was moved when he was on that hill over Jerusalem. When he saw them, how he would have gathered them as a hen would have gathered her chicks. He was moved with compassion with that widow with her only son going to the grave. He was moved outside the tomb of Lazarus. We read, he was moved with compassion. What does that mean? Let's use the Old Testament to understand what this means, to give light upon moved with compassion. Children, you know that Moses was put in that little basket in the river. And then that princess came to wash, and she opened that basket, and she saw that little baby. And she had compassion. That's not what this word means. She had pity. It's not pity. What does it mean then? What does it mean that the Lord Jesus Christ was moved with compassion? We need to consider another history in the Old Testament. Joseph. He was sold into Egypt and his brothers came. And then we read he was moved with compassion. It doesn't say in other words, but it gives light. Listen to Genesis 43 verse 40. And Joseph made haste for his bowels. That's it. His bowels did yearn upon him, his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. He felt it in his very bowels. He felt it in his stomach. He was moved with compassion for his brothers. Parents, we understand this. Moved with compassion. We understand this when we have a dear daughter, a dear son with deep problems. We feel it in our very pit of our stomach, maybe when they're very sick or other things. We feel it in the very depth of our being. We're moved with compassion. And now Joseph, he refrained himself. He didn't allow his brothers to see that he was moved with compassion. But not the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw this man at his feet. He heard his petition. He heard his cry. And the Lord Jesus Christ was moved with compassion. He was moved in his very being of this poor beggar at his feet, crying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That Almighty God, from the stillness of eternity, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion upon a certain people, and he chose them. He chose them to be his people. We read this in Jeremiah 31, verse 20. Is Ephraim my son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. The Almighty God was moved with compassion upon a people, and he chose them, and he will seek him, and he will save him. So that compassion began in eternity. And now God came upon the earth. He came in the flesh. And there he's standing there, that mighty Savior, who's very man and very God. And he was moved with compassion. And he's the same today, congregation. He sees you, poor beggars. He sees you, who's crying, bowing at his feet, begging, crying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And now we heard of action in that man's life. And now the Lord Jesus Christ moved with compassion. It causes an action. An action of that precious Savior. He does something so wonderful. He does something more wonderful than Esther received. Remember Esther? She went to that king. And if he didn't hold out that golden scepter, then she would perish. But now the precious hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was moved with compassion in his very being upon that poor beggar. And his hand comes out. He reaches out his hand. That pure, holy, divine being, very man, very God, moved with compassion, reaches out and touches a leper, a one that would make him completely polluted as a man. But he didn't become polluted. No, he came. He came to make polluted ones because he's the pure one. He remained pure. He touched him. He touched this man. What that must have been for that man, he didn't hear any word. But what the Lord Jesus felt in his very being, he expressed it. He reached out and touched him. He put his hand on his shoulder. Maybe he put it on his head. I don't know. But he touched him. He touched him. That blessed hand that broke bread to feed thousands. Those blessed hands that he reached out to be nailed to the cross. Those blessed hands, the blessed hands of the precious Savior. He reached out and he touched him. Touched him. Children, to understand a little something of what this may be, congregation. Children, for example, you've been very bad. And your father had to discipline you. And you saw the pain. You saw the grief, and he had to discipline you. And he sent you to your room, but later he calls you. Come, let's talk. And he puts his arm around you. That's comforting. That's comfort. A little picture. This man, before he heard a word, already received comfort from that precious Savior. He reached out, moved with compassion, and touched him. No one had ever touched this man. No one ever wanted to. He didn't receive any embrace. He didn't receive any touch. Everyone wanted to stay far away from this man. But now he finally feels a little comfort. A little comfort for him. The Lord Jesus reached out and touched him. Are there poor lepers, spiritual lepers, longing just for a little touch? For a touch. No, not literally. But through the word for your soul, a little comfort. But then notice, the Lord Jesus doesn't rebuke him at all. He doesn't say, oh, your prayer is so filled with unbelief. No, he doesn't rebuke him at all for saying, if thou canst, thou make him clean. No rebukes. He speaks. And he speaks exactly to the need of this man's heart. And that's who he is. He's the same today. He speaks exactly according to the need in the soul that he works. I will be thou clean. Did you hear it? I will be thou clean. Spiritual leper, what power. May the Lord bless those words to the souls and hearts of those who need to hear it, maybe for the first time, but again, I will. It's my will. Thou, be thou clean, be thou clean. And he spoke
What words of comfort. He reached out and touched him, moved with compassion. He touched him and he spoke. He spoke, "Be thou clean." This leper came. He came to that place, that only place to receive help. He came to that one that was sent by his Father, to sent to save, to seek sinners, that one who's almighty, the one the Father laid help upon, one who's almighty to save helpless ones, the one who came to be that balm, that comfort, to heal, to make clean, to comfort lost sinners. He was moved with compassion. And that Almighty God was moved with compassion. He sent his Son to have compassion, that he can forgive spiritual lepers of all their sins. Open your Bible to Micah 7, and we'll read two verses. Micah 7, verse 18 and 19, where we read of the compassion of the Almighty God. Micah 7, verse 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. O Church of God, here we read of the compassion of the Almighty God through his dear Son, whom he did not have compassion when he was made sin, who knew no sin, so he can have compassion on spiritual lepers. What's in your heart, my friend? No, you don't need to tell me. Are you wondering, is he willing? Oh, may you see it here by the wonderful works of God that he is willing. Much more willing than any one of us can even understand or think. Do you wonder if there's compassion for such wretched sinners? Hear it, see it through the wonderful works of God, that he has compassion. Is your prayer the Psalm 6 verse 4, "Deliver thou my soul, O save me for thy mercy's sake"? Is that your prayer? David said, "Speak unto my soul and say, I am thy salvation." He couldn't trust himself anymore. He knew there was only one that he could trust, that he could rest, and he longed to hear it. And when you hear it once, you want to hear his voice again and again and again. This man came, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." All those beggars, they understand the psalmist in Psalm 40 verse 11. "Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Have mercy upon me according to thy loving kindness. Have mercy upon me according to the multitudes of thy tender mercies, and blot out all my transgressions." Congregation, you may come. You may come as this man. You may come as an unworthy one. You may come as a polluted one. You may come as a perishing one. You may come confessing, worshiping, bowing, hoping, begging, with no rights, looking unto him. My friend, can you be beside this man this morning at the feet? Is that you? Is that your heart? Is that your soul? Bowing before him. "Lord, if thou canst, thou canst make me clean." Wait on the Lord. This man could not go home. He could not leave until the Lord spoke. Wait. Wait on the Lord. He will speak at his time. And that time is the right time. But what happened? What happened immediately to this man? Immediately he was cleansed. As we read in verse 42. "And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. I will be thou clean." And he was cleansed. Before we go to the last thought, let us first sing from Psalter 312, the first three stanzas standing. 312, the first three stanzas standing. I love the Lord who heard my cry and granted my request. In him who hears and answers prayer, my trust through life shall rest. 312, 1, 2, and 3. The Lord Jesus had compassion on a leper. The leper's misery, the leper's deliverance, and now the leper's gratitude. See this man? Maybe now he was standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. He was cleansed. His skin was pure. No more leprosy. What must have been in this man's heart? What gratitude must have radiated in this man's heart? He came as an unworthy one, and he had his case solved exactly according to his need. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I will be thou clean. And now he receives instruction. And they all need instruction, continual instruction. And the Lord gives this man instruction in verse 43 and 44. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Say nothing. This man's heart must have been just bubbling over, and he wanted to tell everyone what the Lord had done for him. But say nothing. Why? A few thoughts. First, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't want to be known that he came in the first place for the body. He had a much greater cause. He wanted to be known that he came as the Savior of sinners. He didn't want to be known as this wonderful miracle healer only. He wanted to be known for his very name, Jesus, Jehovah saves. But we see also his humility. He didn't want to become famous. He didn't want to become known as a famous one. He wanted to become known for the will that he came to do, the Father's will. It was not an earthly kingdom. It was a heavenly kingdom, and that's a kingdom that's coming. But he told him to go to the priest and make that offering. The ceremonial law was still in effect. This man had to go to the priest, and the priest pronounced him a leper. And now he had to go back to the priest to show him that he's not a leper. It spoke about restoring relationship. Restoring relationship, because now that priest could officially say, you're not a leper anymore, and he could come back to that place with his family, if he had a family, back to the place of worship. So he could hear officially also from the priest. But Jesus Christ is that great high priest. And he has come. And now also the priest could also hear that lepers are cleansed. Yes, lepers are cleansed. What did that speak to them? What should have that spoken to them? That the Messiah had come. Remember John the Baptist? He wondered, art thou the one? And what did the Lord Jesus answer? What did he say in Luke 7 verse 22? Go your way and tell John. Yes, a child of God was wondering, is Jesus Christ the Messiah? Is he the one? And the Lord Jesus sent a message to him. Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. So it should have been a message to those priests also. The greater high priest is here. He's come. Lepers are cleansed. Those priests already could hear the gospel through this message of this man coming cleansed of the leper. The Messiah is here. He's come. But what happened? What did this man do? We read in verse 45, but he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. You can see him walking. He didn't obey. And we must say it was not correct because he didn't obey the Lord Jesus Christ. But can you understand him? No, it's not right. You must obey. But can you understand his heart? His heart was bubbling over. Can you see him walking home? Maybe he was walking past those same people that he came as a leper, and now he can walk past those people and cleanse, completely cleansed, heal. And the Lord Jesus, that one had helped him, that one that he came to as an unworthy one. All those miserable wretches, when they taste something of the deliverance, of the wonders, of the mercy of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, that fills their heart. They want to speak. They speak. And the more the taste, more their heart should bubble over, and they want to speak. Their mouths become open. Their tongues become the pen of a ready writer. They want to speak of him. They want others to hear of the wonders of his grace for the glory of him. Church of God, is your mouth open? Is my mouth open? We can say this man was wrong, but I want to speak to you, and I want to speak to myself. Has your mouth been open? Has the Lord touched you? Has the Lord spoken to you? And are you speaking to others? No, not about yourself, not about all your experience, but for him, for his honor, for his glory, that others may hear and stand in awe and have hope. Fathers, remember that sermon, that you may speak of the wonderful works of God, that your children may set hope in God. May our mouths be opened, sheep of the good shepherd. Lambs, and maybe they're closed because it's all darkness. That's because of our sin. Oh, may he visit again, and maybe see the wonderful works of God. No, not lightning hitting this church, but maybe see the wonderful works of God, of salvation, of hope, of God for wretched sinners. And may we taste it by the work of the Holy Spirit, and that we may speak for him, for his honor, for his glory. Church of God, you are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Yes, you need to be conformed, sanctified. He had bowels of compassion. He was moved with compassion. We should have bowels of compassion. Listen to what we read in Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Compassion. Compassion on our fellow travelers to eternity. No, not just for the things of this world, but for their soul. May we become more images, light in this dark world. Yes, we need God's grace. We need His Spirit. But it's our guilt that our mouths are closed. Have you heard? Yes, you heard it with your ear. But have you heard the wonderful work of God? What's your response? Remember those Israelites? They saw that lightning and they said, "The Lord, He is God." What's your response to hearing the wonderful work of the Almighty Savior, Jesus Christ, that He can heal lepers? Is there an echo? Is there bowing? Is there worshiping before Him? He is the one. He is the Savior. He is God. He's that Almighty One. Are you bowing? Or are you waiting? Waiting. If you say the time's up, it's time to say amen. Are you waiting to go home? Have you never become a lost wretch? Have you never have ever had any need? Are you still absolutely dead? Hearing the wonderful works of God, but it doesn't touch you at all. There's no cry. There's no need. It's all deadness. Well, my friend, one day you will bow at His feet. We all will be bowing. Bowing. We read in Romans 14, verse 11, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." But the question is, how will you be bowing? How will I be bowing? There's two ways. It will be bowing in absolute terror, or it will be bowing in adoration. What wonderful works of God. Has He begun in your life? Do you know a little something of misery? Do you know a little something of deliverance? And out of your heart comes that gratitude. That work that He has begun. That wonderful work. That work of His grace. That work of grace in the hearts of wretched. He will fulfill. He will never forsake the works of His hands. Every miracle, every work of His miracle is a little picture of what it will be in heaven. Also the body. That body will be pure. That body will be restored to that perfect condition without sin. And He will take them and He will bring them home. And we'll close in this verse. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for all former things are passed away." The wonderful works of God, when He began, He will fulfill. And that future work, He will take all those miserable wretches that saw deliverance only in Him, taste a little something that He will deliver, and they will live a life of gratitude in a pure body, in a pure soul. No more sin. No more sin. Able to do their heart's desire, adoring Him and worship Him in perfection. Blessed people, blessed future, by the blessed works of God. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg Thee, be the after preacher. Bless Thy word. Bring it where no man can bring it. Bring it into the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thou knowest those who may be among us who came. If Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. Oh, may they go home hearing Thy voice. I will be Thou clean. Lord, remember us in Thy mercy, all those who are yet dead, who heard the same message. Oh, we beg Thee, Lord, give them life. Conquer their hearts. Take away all the enmity. Take away all the weapons of resistance, and they become lost before Thee. Lord, we acknowledge Thee for Thy precious word to hear the wonderful works of God. Keep us in this day. Watch over us. Bring us again if it is in thy will, and may it be in thy favor tonight to hear of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us sing now in closing from Psalter 394, stanzas 1 and 3. I will extol thee, O my God, and praise thee, O my King. Yea, every day and evermore thy praises I will sing. Great is the Lord our mighty God, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable above all glory raised. 394, stanzas 1 and 3. dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.